When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sometimes golf is a pain in the butt. You hit your ball in the trees and then you lip out the putt. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Because now you're listening to the Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome down to yet another exciting, fun-filled and action-packed episode of the Rough Cut Golf Podcast. And boy, oh boy, is it quite the show we have lined up for you today. We are talking to a member of golf's first boy supergroup, which is something I didn't think I'd be saying, talking all things golf because the professional game is slowly spiraling down towards a black hole which will suck itself and destroy the entire ecosystem of the game that we love. And then also we've got some good news. We've got Jacob, we've got Kieran, and then we've got Mick all together.
Are we the good news?
The good news that
That's
we're
nice.
Here.
Yeah. Now, I know you said that the member of the boy supergroup, that they were the first boy supergroup, but I would like to argue that Fryer, Finch, Shields and Carter were the first boy supergroup.
Right. Yeah, so we never actually kind of like formalized that into a cohesive unit. So we were like maybe...
I'm trying to think, who could you be?
What were the opera guys?
They're blue.
Even blue had more of an organizational structure than we did. So let's say someone like a group that comes together... Like, was it the three tenors?
Right.
Like, they were all individual...
30 quid.
The rat pack.
Yeah, they were individual singers who just, like, came together every now and again.
Right, okay.
But even we didn't release an album together.
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
We can't be called a group when we didn't have a name or a logo.
The Rat Pack of golf is quite cool, though.
Mm. If that's what you are and there, we are assuming One Direction, then what are we?
Good question. We're the other members of the like acting troupe that made the Ocean's 11 movie with the cool people.
Right, okay.
So you know Frank Sinatra plays Danny Ocean. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe Rick or Pete. I'll take that. Dean Martin, in my mind, cooler than Frank Sinatra. Hot take. That's definitely you. Sammy Davis Jr., probably Finch, probably can be Fryer. Carter. See, I can't name anymore. We're the other people who were like friends with the Rat Pack,
right?
But you can't remember their names.
Oh, okay.
Who's Marilyn Monroe? Anyway, let's move on.
Carter.
Carter's Marilyn Monroe. So we have, which Kieran has written down here, very excited. I think this is way too early to get this excited, but we've got 10 weeks till the Masters.
Wow.
I think it's important for people to know.
It is important for people to know.
And I don't know. I think maybe because we're going to be so busy within the next few weeks, the Masters feels so far away. It feels like an ocean away.
It'll come quick. It'll come quick. 10 is not long.
It's true. That is true.
It's 10 weeks.
Correct. Yeah, 10 weeks
is
10 weeks. It does equal the same.
It was only yesterday. It feels like only yesterday that we were watching Tiger limp around that golf course.
Mm.
It also means you've got 10 weeks to fill up that cupboard.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Yes, I have not forgotten. I did lose the for did it have a name? I don't think it really had a name. It was the fantasy golf league picks. That we did.
Yeah. It's our major picks, wasn't it?
Yeah, my major picks were they didn't play very well. Basically,
really not well.
Yeah. Really
and
not
the,
well.
The bet was whoever lost had to fill up the confectionery cupboard station.
Yeah, so I'll fill it up on the day that we do the picks for the.
That's when you're going to do it. So we're still
Masters.
Really,
yeah.
So we still got 10. Weeks.
Well, listen.
Is it by the time you filled it up, that's going to be almost like 7 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, I can do it sooner if you'd like, but all the food will be gone by the time the Masters comes around. What I want to do is for the whole period of the majors this year, for the cupboard to be at least a little bit stocked. I don't want to do it too early because the gannets will eat it.
Everyone get down to those comments as well. Has anyone else got a mate who pushes back paying up a debt when they lose a bet?
I will do it. I've set a date.
Yeah, it's just far in the future.
Yeah, yeah, I will do. Oh, no, I can't do it. Oh, I can't do it that day. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I tell you what, to make it up to all three of you and to, you know, sweeten the deal slightly, I have toyed with the idea of giving you each a special buy. So you may pick something within reason.
Oh, I'm going to stitch you up so
that
bad.
That I will almost guarantee is on the list of shopping items.
Okay.
Okay?
Cool.
What week can we do that?
The week before we do our picks, I will bring all the shopping in.
Okay, so we need a week before that for our specialty item.
Correct.
Okay, get that. You've got to comment. Let us know that.
Be thinking. What should I get? Should we get?
Food based.
Does this 100%. I'm talking tins. I'm talking pot noodles. I'm talking cereals. I'm talking bars. I'm talking chocolate options. I'm talking maybe some specialty coffees, some tea bags, all of the things that a working office needs.
Okay.
Right.
Like that.
Within reason, obviously.
100%.
Okay.
No, you cannot have a subscription of Toblerone. That's not happening.
I can't get a charcuterie board.
I will not be going out and shooting a pheasant every Sunday to bring it to work on Monday.
Toblerone was your top.
That's like that's premium.
Listen, I haven't had sugar in 28 days, so Toblerone is top
of
my list.
For a Toblerone.
I was
going
to go straight to the caviar and cheese board. But
Toblerone.
We've got Toblerone.
Come on now.
That's our peak. Right, okay.
I don't want a bottle of Prosecco in every day or something, or even some champagne.
The food's coming, so don't panic.
Okay.
So spiky chocolate, that's our limit. Right, now.
triangle chocolates.
It has to be said that in the intervening time between the last podcast and as we sit here talking to you today, we have passed a momentous milestone on the main YouTube channel where we have crossed over 600,000 subscribers, which is pretty epic. So more than
we do our own sound effects here.
Yeah. Wait, I wish I still had the clapping one. I don't think it's on there. Wait, let me see. I'll just test it.
We'll see what comes out. Well done, that worked. Yeah.
he just clotheslined it.
Oh, good Lord, yeah. That was not the clapping sound effect. Although it did
kind of
punctuate the point quite nicely.
Yeah.
I was happy with that.
So we have, we have now got over 6 Wembley stadiums subscribed to the channel, which is
what
pretty wild.
What think about it?
It is kind of crazy. Also, like with all the social channels, with the Rough Court, with Swing Quest, and all the rest of it, I think we've got something around 1.6 million followers across every platform. So to have that kind of reach is absolutely crazy. So thank you so much, everyone who listens, who watches, who interacts with everything that we do. Obviously, without you guys being there, all of this would be pointless. We wouldn't be doing any of it. So thank you so much. Yeah, your continued support means the absolute world.
Yeah.
So really, really appreciate
that. We get to come to work every day because people watch the videos. So
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, moment of sincereness there. Also, we've passed 15,000 subscribers on the Rough Cut Golf YouTube channel.
Come on the cut.
So if you are watching this and you haven't subscribed already, but if you're listening to this,
what are you doing?
When you stop the car, when you get off your Peloton, when you get out of bed, or you just erase off the throne, make sure you go over and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Can we have any kings or queens that listen to this podcast?
at least once a day, royalty are kings and queens in their own right.
Mm, the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like a John King listening.
Oh, Joe King.
Yeah. But maybe not of royalty. I don't know.
Well, you never know.
If you're royalty, comment below.
If you are the Grand Duke Ferdinand, please slip into those comments.
A prince of Nigeria did get in contact with me the other day. So,
oh my God, Did you win 600,000?
I did.
So did I. All I need to do is transfer it to my UK.
I know.
I need to send them so that they get my deed.
Yeah. Big fans.
Oh my God.
Send us a fiver and we'll send you 600K.
Yeah. Great deal.
There's a Nigerian prince that needs help or something.
It's incredible news. I don't know how to segue across this.
Yeah, go on. Try.
Golf. Just say golf. That's what it's about.
Talking about kings, we have someone who has risen to the top of the golf YouTube monarchy coming to this podcast in approximately 2 seconds. Shall we chat to Luke Kwan? Good.
Okay, it felt forced, but I like it.
I mean, that was incredibly forced. Fortunately, the conversation with Luke isn't forced. So let's have a listen to a member of Good Good and exactly what we're going to be doing in about a week.
Oh, yeah,
and,
that's right, yeah.
And beyond.
Yeah.
Okay, and welcome down to the podcast, Mr. Luke Kwan. Luke, how are you? Where do we find you? And just generally, how's life treating you?
I'm doing all good. Thanks for having me on this podcast. Always love just hopping on some podcasts, but I'm just chilling right now. I've just been like, 2.5 weeks of no travel, which honestly, I guess it doesn't really seem like a long time, but it's been feeling like a long time lately. So
right, okay.
It's nice to get a break from travel.
No, I get what you mean. I think certainly last year, definitely we did so much travel that it was really nice to have a couple of weeks at home. The only difference is here, a couple of weeks at home in the UK in the winter instantly makes you appreciate how much you like to travel. So there is that. Because where do you call home?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
In Dallas. No, but, Texas in the winter is not that nice, though, is it? I've never been. So.
I mean, it's not great, but it's also not like terrible. Like, you can still play golf. I could probably play golf right now, but.
Right, okay. Yeah, we could definitely not do that right now. Well, actually, no, saying that, the snow has melted recently, so I reckon we probably could squeeze out. But it's kind of like, would you want to?
Yeah, no, exactly. It just doesn't look great out. It's just everything's dormant. Everything looks brown. No leaves on the trees. It just kind of looks depressing out there, like, nah.
Okay, well, you know what? I absolutely love this positive start to this chat that we're having, Luke. This is great. We're not going anywhere. Everything's brown. Everything's not growing. It's great. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully, we are making your day brighter by the second. However, talk about making things bright, talk about making things happy. We are going to be seeing each other again in approximately 1 week and 1 day. We are heading to Arizona. Have you been to this grass clippings place before?
No.
Never been before?
No.
Okay. So just you know what? First of all, I'm going to shut up because I'm going to let you do the talking. Are you excited about this live stream? And do you want to just like inform people exactly what is going on?
I'm not going to lie. I don't really know that much about it. Like with this whole good thing, I just show up and I just whack a ball. They don't tell me a whole lot. And I ask them what we're doing for the day. And even they don't know what we're doing. So I don't know. I'm just going there and hitting some shots. I just know that NBC is helping out with the live stream. We've been messing around with live streams here recently. So
Yeah. I have seen a few of them they've been doing. I'm presuming they've just been like testers to kind of see if this will work.
One of them was a tester, which was a pretty bad site to do it because we're like in the valley and the internet chopped out. But I mean, it was a good learning thing.
Yeah, the other thing is just like getting a few tests out of the way. I mean, as far as I'm aware, I think this is what's going to happen. Maybe this can be a learning experience for us together. It's going to be a 14-hole two-man scramble at a place called Grass Clippings in the middle of the desert in Arizona. And if that doesn't sound random enough, the field is pretty much entirely comprised of people who play golf on the internet, which is new. And tickets have been sold. I'm pretty sure the tickets might have sold out now as well.
Yeah, I think so. I got to imagine.
It's crazy.
Or it's still going. I don't know.
Not sure. I'm pretty sure they are. I thought I saw something. But I'm playing with Trotty, who's like club fitter, former pro. Who are you getting out with? Who are you playing with?
I went to go play Goat Hill Ranch with a friend. Trotty just happened to be in the group, which I posted on my story and people were thinking I was switching to TaylorMade, but he just happened to be in the group. He's good. He's actually like solid.
Yeah, mate. Honestly, I've done videos with him before, but he's one of those guys because his expertise, I'd say, you know, lies within club fitting. His expertise lies within watching other people hit. I I've never actually seen him swing. Yeah. And then like the offer came and he said, oh, do you want to play with the good, good event? I was like, well, I delayed it a little bit. I was like, well,
yeah.
Let me just check a few things. Like went straight on his Instagram. I was like, right, is there anything of him actually swinging? Because if he's like wanging it around like a drunken octopus, I really don't want to be playing with him. But yeah, right. he's got like a tidy little technique.
It's real solid.
Yeah, he's actually going to be pulling us through, I think. I think he might be thinking he's going to rely on me and I'm just going to be heavily relying on him. Who are you?
I meant to ask him, I think, if he played like professionally or if he played like in college or something. I don't know if he did either, but I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
I think he's a PJ Pro or certainly used to be a PJ Pro.
Right.
But that's kind of back in the UK and that qualification. Yeah. Well, you know, they'll give it to anybody. I'm a PJ Pro. I mean, come on. Who are you playing with?
I'm with Sean Walsh.
Sean, right, okay.
Yeah, it's been on my channel quite a bit lately. The thing is, he has a baby coming, and it's supposed to be due basically the day of the tournament. And so if that's the case, obviously he's not going to make it. God, I really hope that's not what happens, because I would feel terrible if he's actually there.
I'm going to put a situation in your head. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say you're on the 13th hole. Okay. You're playing well. You're standing over like, you know, 12 foot putt that Sean's got a hole, and you've got a chance of winning. Okay. And he gets a call. His missus has gone into labor. Okay. Do you make him stay and put out?
Well, no, I don't even think it's a question. I think we pull out, but I just feel like at that point, is it not too late?
I guess
it could take a few hours.
I think so. I mean, listen, the baby's not going to remember anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
But I'm more so thinking of Sean. Like, it's his firstborn child. I have no idea what that's like. He has no idea what that's like either. So I don't know. It's just I don't want him to miss that moment.
Hey, listen, I've not got kids, and you know, I'm probably won't have them. And I'm sure it's a beautiful moment, but it's golf, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be better than golf.
Oh man, I mean, yeah, Sean's a decent player as well, isn't he? He's a good player. Yeah,
dude, I've always told him. Well, actually, I've not really told him directly to his face, but I've always said, like, for a guy that hasn't really done anything with status on tours or, I don't know, moving up the ranks in terms of status, like that he might be one of the best guys I know that just hasn't really done anything status wise on any like pro tours. He's just been kind of stuck at the mini tour level. Like, he was a really good amateur. I mean, so much potential. It's just tough. Pro golf is just tough.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, certainly, I know it's the same in the US, but certainly over UK, Europe-wise, that there's this kind of subcurrent of just really, really good pros, like, who are trying to make their way through those mini tours. But because the opportunity to move up is so small, there's only like a catchment of them that actually make it. And yeah. I know a lot of lads who are just really good golfers who had to stop just because they couldn't afford it. You know, life kind of got in the way of them. So there are a lot of just amazing players out there. But saying that, you know, the guys who do make it on tour, they are good. They are good. As well, so.
They are good. But I will say, I think a lot of people are mistaking like the top 20 players, top 30 players on tour to the guys that are top 70, top 80, top 100. Like, the guys that are like 70, 80, 100, I don't know. I mean, I've seen them, and it's not like they're not impressive, but it's not like they're not impressive. They're still impressive, but it's not like so outlandishly differently good.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I feel like I could do that.
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's a bit different though, because you're actually a really good player as well. So,
I mean, I understand, but it's just not anything flashy. It's not anything like, wow, like that is something that I just would not ever be able to do. Like, it's just, they just plot it around the course. They just dink it around, drop a putt here or there, get up and down here or there. It's just like, all of a sudden it's 500. It's like, wait, what?
Right. You're making me a little bit more confident here. You know, I'm feeling maybe this game that we play is not that difficult anymore.
Dude, some of these guys, when you watch them, it just doesn't look that hard.
Well, next time I go out and I shank my first three shots in a row, I'll be calling out your name in anger. I mean, who else we got like playing? Like who do you fancy to actually take the win in this good tournament? Here's with the prediction.
Well, obviously we've got the Brian Bros are playing.
It's gonna be pretty strong. About that. Yeah. Okay. So who's gonna win apart from the Brian Bros?
I don't know. I wanna say that we have a pretty good chance, me and Sean. It's kind of just comes down to making putts pretty much.
Yeah, I think that's probably why we won't have a chance. Me and Trotty, I think, are firmly driving range pros. So, like, we could do all the long stuff, right? But once we get on the green,
the thing is, I feel like I don't know. They were saying it's like a bunch of par threes. So
yeah, I think so. I think there's maybe a couple of short par fours as well. But I think they're going to be setting it up to obviously maximize the amount of kind of really good shots as well. So
right.
Just gonna think whoever's 14 under is going to win. I think.
Yeah.
I think Brian Bros. Well. Because, I know Wes is going for Monday qualifying, isn't he? So that's kind of caliber of kind of team that they've got.
Right.
Okay.
No, they're good. They're good. But it's just a matter of pretty much putting. If they don't, putting is just, your putter is not always your friend, even if you are a good putter. So they just have like an off day with a putter. Or if we have an off day with a putter, like it's just kind of.
Good. You know. So you tell me there's a chance. I like it.
There's a chance.
Very, very slim chance. With what you've been doing recently, obviously with the travel, I mean, what have you got coming up yourself? Because I know, you know, like you said, with all the good things you've been doing, where you know it's news to me. You just turn up and you know you smile, you hit a few nice shots, and then you leave. Like, what have you got going on personally? What's happening?
So I got New Zealand planned for pretty much like mid late February.
Nice.
Excited to go back to New Zealand. I love having that on the calendar every year.
I've never been.
You've never been?
No, best courses. What have you played over there?
Well, this last year I was very not surprised, but I hadn't played Jack's Point before, and everyone's told me like, "How have you not played that?" Yeah, that's as of now, it's still in my top five favorite courses. I mean, the views in that mid part of that front nine is just unreal. Just really well-designed course as well. But this year I'm going to go to a place called Cape Kidnappers. And it's a course where like there's basically like cliffs off the side of the fairway.
Yeah.
On both sides, on some of the holes.
It looks unbelievable.
Yeah. And so not only is it very thumbnailable, it just looks very sick. Like it's just a really cool looking course. So
is that how you're thinking of courses now? If they're thumbnailable?
Thumbnailable? Unfortunately, as I've become a YouTuber, it does pop in my head quite often.
Is this it? Have you fully renounced your pro status? Have you finally come over to the dark side and admitted that you are now a full-time YouTuber?
I think I said it in one of my videos. I was like, I don't know what I said. I was just basically just admitting, like, I guess that's what I am now. I'm just a YouTuber.
Hey, It's not a bad thing.
No, like, it's not.
It's all right. We're friendly people. We're good. We are good people.
Yeah,
One of us. One of us.
Hey, in this side of things, six footers don't matter. You know, you can make a double. It doesn't cost you a few thousand dollars. It's fine. It's chill over here.
I'm not gonna lie. The more double bogeys you make, generally that video is gonna do better. You're actually you're actually rewarded for bad golf on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know about that much, but.
I always feel like if you're going to, certainly if it's like a course, or you got two options. You either play incredible and you shoot like a really good score.
Yeah.
Or you have an absolute nightmare. Because
just a meltdown.
Anything in the middle, people are like, oh, cool. It's like, oh, you shot solid level par. Great. Good for you. Yeah. I didn't see you crying on the green. Like, why would I carry on watching?
Right.
It's actually what me and the guys do all the time. I'm actually like an exceptionally good golfer, but I purposely play terrible on video just for the titles and thumbnails.
I mean, I think one of my weak spots on my channel is that my game's not as relatable to most people, which I never thought of that, but I guess that is true. So it's like whenever I do have bad rounds, that does make me relatable. So it kind of like checks off a box that I don't want to be checking off.
It's what I'm going for. Just join us in the relatable team over here. Look, like just come down to our level. You'll have a great time. You don't need to practice. Yeah,
You know, I already don't practice.
Yeah, grind over those 3 footers. That's a thing of the past. Driving ranges, what are they? You don't need it. Just be part of the team.
Yeah. It's all about the vibes. We're doing it for the vibes.
Very much about the vibes. And to be honest, like, I think I've never actually been to New Zealand before, but like you talk about Cape Kid, that does look like it is a vibe.
Looks unreal.
Like the whole place. Oh,
unbelievable. And then I was supposed to go, I am going to go play the Te Arai courses, which are pretty close to Tarariri. I wish I could go play Tarariri. Well, I think I could go play Tarariri, but I don't think they would allow for me to film out there.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of where I've gotten into my career as well, is that if I'm playing a course that I can't film, then why even?
I know. It's,
why even play?
It sounds really bad, doesn't it? But like, yeah. there's so many, well, not so many places, but there's quite a few places where they'll welcome you down, and their members, if they're, say, watching your stuff, they'll kind of invite you down for a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can't get the camera out, it's kind of like, well,
why even bother?
Yeah, I'll go to Immunity down the road and shoot 80 there instead.
Yeah, it sounds like pretty stuck up ish to say. I don't really know what the word is.
No, it is right. It's kind of like definitely. Yeah, you're right. Like what is the word? It's almost a bit. It's kind of a bit sad. It is a little bit sad where you think
it's a little bit.
Rather than having that experience, you can take it a couple of ways, aren't you? Because like it's rather than having that personal experience, you do actually want to show other people what you're doing as well. So, I think of it as more as sharing.
Yeah, we're trying to not be selfish.
We're sharers and carers. That's what we are. talking about playing horrendous golf, we are meant to be doing some filming this year.
Yes.
Shall we? Do we want to give any clues to what we're doing, or shall we keep this a little bit of a secret?
I don't mind giving clues. Okay. A little foreshadowing.
Okay. How can we say this in a way where we don't mention that we're playing some of the very best Ryder Cup courses ever played on? How do we say that?
How do we say it without you already saying it right now?
Yeah, how do we not give it away? Okay, there's something that sounds like Flen Peagles. I think we might be playing there. And Kader Menu, that must be in France. And there's also the I don't think there's a way. Actually, no, I don't think I'm playing the K Club. I think that might just be you. And you know what? I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time.
There's also a few extra ones as well that you don't have to go to because the travel just gets crazy and all that. But
is it, by the way, is this Sean who's organized this?
Yes.
Has Sean ever seen a map?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty avid traveler.
I think this is going to be some traveling.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be, I mean, this trip might be a little bit brutal in terms of sleeping hours and.
Yeah, but hey, listen, like I said, you're a YouTuber now. You don't have to sleep.
Yeah.
I've always found it an optional extra more than anything. But no, that's going to be cool because that's going to be in May that we're going to be getting this organized. So yeah, we'll have to figure out what these videos are going to be, but stay tuned because as soon as, I mean, it's filming in May, so it's probably going to be June, July, they're dropping, but. Yeah, I think some of these videos are going to be absolutely awesome.
I think it'll be fun just because I feel like there's a decent amount of videos that are on YouTube that are like Ryder Cup this, and it's like you're playing best ball, scramble, whatever, alternate shot. It's like, that's not what this is. We're playing like Ryder Cup courses and traveling to around these different places in Europe. We're also, I don't know if you saw this list, but we're trying to play Le Golf National as well for, you know, the Olympics.
You know what? That was a... I played it a couple of times, and that's a course which I thought was a lot better than people said it was. I actually really enjoyed it. Yeah. There's no like crazy views or anything, but the actual course is like really strategic, and the last kind of three holes are you can tell how much they've been set up for the Ryder Cup. You can understand like the drama that will be happening there. It's very cool.
I love that. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Of course, you need
a good, well-designed course. Yeah. And then we're trying to get Valderrama potentially. Don't know how likely that's going to be, but.
I've not played Valderrama, but all I know of it, I've kind of walked around it. I've been there when there's been some tour events, and it looks like the hardest golf course in the world.
That's what I remember seeing on TV. I don't know if it's even scenic at all. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's by the coast. You do get a few glimpses of it, but you're that terrified of what lies straight in front of you. You can't take your eyes off it. The trees down there, I'm pretty sure they're cork trees or that. Anyway, they're a tree which has been specifically bred by the devil to eat golf balls. So, like, in pretty much any course that you go to, if you hit a ball at some trees, it'll kind of like go through the trees. You know, you can find gaps and stuff. Yeah. If you hit a ball into these trees, it either doesn't let it go, so it stays up in the branches, or it drops straight down. There's nothing in between.
Wait, so this tree's like all over the course or what?
They're just off the fairway, and in most cases, they're leaning over the fairway.
The reason a lot of
the guys, certainly tour pros, find it so difficult as well is because you've got to shape it.
Mm.
And obviously, like modern equipment, a lot of these guys not really used to that.
Right.
But if I'm not put you off so far, it looks lovely. You should go there. You should play.
I mean, I might be getting kicked in the balls over and over again like I did at Pinehurst, but I appreciate a hard course like that.
Mm. I think I'm playing Pinehurst this year.
You are?
I think so. Yeah.
Which ones are you playing?
Number two. And yeah. I think number six, I want to say.
Okay. I didn't play number six.
Maybe going. I mean, the whole every single course there just looks unreal. But I do want to play number two in a kind of sick sadistic kind of way. Because I know it's gonna punish me, but
yeah. It's just you have no real like breathing room for like a birdie opportunity other than maybe the par fives, but like some of the par fives are all like three shot holes, so you better wedge it close. I mean, it is just a complete grind the whole time.
What did you manage to shoot around there?
I think I was six over because I was standing in the bunker with my ball out of the bunker on the last hole, and then I like tried to open up the face. I don't know why I opened up the face. Tried to open up the face, shanked it. Because
oh, nice.
Yeah, how could you even make contact like that? Anyways, so made a double on the last hole, but.
Well, if you shot six over, then God knows what I'm going to shoot. But I'm looking forward to it.
Why are you talking yourself down so much? I've seen your game at, what was that, Royal Troon?
Mm.
Dude, you played solid.
Yeah, it was okay. What I like to do, Luke, because like even you know when I've met you and speak to you on this podcast, it's quite clear that you're a self-confident golfer. What I like to do is I like to bring myself down so much that if I go out and I shoot a decent score, it's just the most wonderful surprise. Now, I like to keep myself on
it. It sounds like a weird way of saying you're sandbagging.
No. Because on the flip side, if I play terrible, I'm meeting my expectations. So it's okay.
All right. It's either sandbagging or a little happiness hack.
It's mostly trying to avoid pain. That's what it is. That's basically what I'm going for in my golf. Then I'll look forward to that. Right. We've got, can I put a Q&A out? So I had some of our listeners firing with questions. So first one from Ash Steele. Who's the best good golfer and where would Pete fit into the rankings?
Right when I get asked that question, I always just think of Steve, but I don't know. It's probably a tie between me and Brad, depending on the day, depending on the putter. Pete, I would put... I mean, based on what I saw at Royal Troon, I would put you neck and neck to Garrett. Maybe, honestly, a little better than Garrett, potentially.
I'm just gonna have to ask you to say that one more time, Luke.
You're a little better than Garrett.
Also, there's... seemed to be a bit of interference there on the mic. just one more time for me, a bit louder.
I'd say you're probably a little better than Garrett.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
You know, that's nice to hear. That's
dude,
nice
your game
hear.
Looks solid at Royal Troon. I was surprised.
I get a little bit nervous obviously playing comps every now and again, but like if I'm filming, I'm not usually nervous. Right. I was really nervous that day.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not entirely sure kind of why, but I was like, God, this is a big deal now.
I mean, just because you're on someone else's channel, maybe.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And potentially as well, because last year I was slicing it and we were playing into a 40 mile an hour headwind with the beach on the right hand side. That was a little bit twitchy.
Yeah, that can get scary.
Yeah, very scary. Okay, I will take that, mate. I will take that. I will use that. I will build confidence, and I will definitely let Garrett know when I see him. Any plans to play pro tournaments again? I think John Clements asked this. I think we might have already covered this, but it kind of goes more into kind of what you're doing on YouTube and then where you think it's going to go. Because it is, I mean, you should probably explain this a little bit more, because the difference between doing stuff on YouTube and playing pro golf, especially if you want to be successful, is there's a big difference there.
It's massive. I mean, I think I kind of alluded to it earlier. Like, I don't even practice my golf clubs are still in my golf travel bag for the past like 2 weeks. Like, it hasn't even come out. And that's usually how it goes after these trips. I don't touch a club. I just leave it in there and I go on these trips. And it's just, when you're a pro golfer, you absolutely cannot be doing that. Maybe you can take a few days off, a week off or something, but like, you have to be grinding, and there has to be like an itch to really do it, because you're, especially during the rough times, because it's not always, you're not always playing well, but like, you know, you miss a few cuts, you're trying to figure your game out. It's just like little things on the golf course will happen, and you end up missing it by one or some of that. It just gets kind of frustrating. But on top of that, the money side of things, it's just, I mean, everything matters.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, huge, yeah. But like, it's, you know, a 6 footer could cost you so much money depending on how much, where you are on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
In terms of status, you're basically playing for your job the next year as well. Either you're moving up a tour or moving down a tour or just losing your status. Like, there's a lot of stuff. And I mean, yeah, do I want to play pro golf again? Honestly, I don't really have that itch anymore.
No.
I feel like I definitely had the itch in 2018 before, like when I was starting my YouTube channel. Like, that was kind of the whole point of me starting YouTube, is to try to find investors so that I can freaking scratch this itch that I could not get out of my head. So I definitely know what that feels like, but now I just don't really have that as much anymore. Yeah. So I've thought about doing maybe DP World Tour Q School next year, or maybe Japan Tour Q School. Japan Tour is the one Q School that I am kind of kicking myself for never trying. I wish I had tried to do Japan Tour, because it's kind of a decently well-kept secret that the money's not as good as it has been the last few years, but like, it's pretty comparable-ish to like DP World Tour, and obviously not as good competition. So yeah. I'm trying to get away from all the good golfers. If I can go play against, you know, not as good golfers for a comparable amount of money, sign me up.
And yeah, again, this is why you came to YouTube.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of what you do in a weird kind of way. But no, it is right. Like, I've got that, like that itch you spoke about. I've got that back a little bit more this year, because I didn't play any kind of golf last year at all, and I have got it back. And it's even with that itch back, it is difficult, because you're like, well, you're trying to make videos at the same time. And, you know, unless you spend all your time like filming your practice, you do feel like you're taking time off from your job. Right. So it is it's a strange situation to be in, but I'm looking forward to playing again and seeing how crap I am. So I think, yeah, that's a good answer to that. So if the itch comes back potentially, but at the moment, just not bothered.
Yeah. And I just feel like I got a good thing going here with the whole YouTube thing. And like you just said, if I was playing pro golf and had a season, I mean, I would not mind missing like 2 weeks of tournament golf to just go film my own stuff, to have something to upload for the next, whatever it is, month and a half, 2 months. I just feel like the logistics on trying to keep my channel going while also playing pro golf is like a nightmare.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, like when, because I seem to remember, like, you were like really the only guy who started to upload, like back in 2018, the only person who started to upload videos whilst playing at a very good standard of golf. Mm. You know, it wasn't a case of being you filming saying you're on a journey to get there. You were already there and then filming the videos to actually document that. I remember that really clearly. And then, I remember the videos.
I remember you commented on a few of my early videos, I was like, dang, that's kind of cool. Like, this guy, I mean, I've known you for a while. Like, you were one of the OG YouTubers, YouTube golfers.
Mm.
So, no, that was cool. I remember that.
Yeah, it's back in the day. God, look at those old timers reminiscing.
Also, the hard part about, like, doing the whole pro golf stuff and filming it, I mean, I think maybe people that are watching don't really know about, like, video making, but, like, you kind of have to be telling a story and, you know, kind of filling the audience in on things and what things mean and how much this week means to you or whatever. Like, I just didn't really like doing that. That's why I always, like, film stuff after the fact and explained after, like, what this win on Peter China meant and what I need to do going forward. Like, otherwise, like, I would have to just be like, I need a win because I'm my ranking on the money list is starting to slip. I am stressing out about trying to get back to the US. I am you know, I missed my first cut, or no, two cuts now, my first five events. Like, I'm starting to not feel great. Like, it's like, in order to tell a story, you kind of have to have your thoughts out there. And I don't really like having to, like, count my chickens before they hatch kind of thing. Like, let me, you know, just kind of keep it in my head for a while. Like, I know the scenario. Let's go do our thing and not say things out loud that, you know, might not be good.
No, I fully understand exactly where you're coming from. It is, oh God, it's tough. It's so tough to balance it. And especially if you're going to try and do something like that now, it's so much more difficult because there's so many more people kind of making videos within the golf space.
Yeah.
And like you said, it is figuring out, like, how you would get kind of that attention. And
yeah,
if you were uploading videos every week and you were saying, yeah, missed the cut. I've not eaten for 3 days.
Right.
It's just, I don't know how long you'd actually be able to keep people engaged. But I don't know, maybe.
Exactly. I don't know if people even want to see that stuff. Like, I'm not lying about the grind of pro golf. Like, it is a grind that I don't know if people necessarily want to see the rawness of it.
I think people will say that they want to see it, but then in reality might not actually like the videos when they come out. Because, like, people like to see pro golfers suffer, like, maybe a couple times a year. So US right. Open, they right. love it. Like, the Open, if, like, a 50-mile-an-hour wind of rain sweeps in, or the sat comfortably at home.
I love it too.
Great to watch. But, mate, I just want to say, mate, obviously, big thank you for kind of hopping on, having a chat to us. I will be seeing you in literally a week. So let's have a catch up and we'll have a drink and we'll kind of complain to each other about how tough we have as pro golfers.
Sounds good. I can't wait. That trip is going to be so sick.
It's going to be good. Really looking forward to it, mate.
All right.
See you, mate.
All right. See you.
Bye. And you know what? What just an absolutely lovely young man.
It's irritating me weekly, the fact that we get these people on and they're not only very talented, but also really nice people.
Yeah.
Lovely smile.
Although we did have Carter on. So.
Oh, yeah, actually true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That was the down week.
They do call him the anomaly.
I'm going to remember that. Carter's new name for the year. Bless him. Yeah, I mean, it was nice to have a guest on who wasn't hungover. It must be amazing. I don't know. Maybe he was feeling either. He must have had a drink to say that you were better than Garrett. I thought that was pretty bold.
I agree with him.
Okay.
Listen, I think Luke is a man of sensible ideas and unquestionable moral authority. So
he sees that man on a daily. He sees him hit a golf ball. So if he thinks you're better, then
Who do you not beat out of? You beat everyone in good.
Except Brad and Luke.
I mean, if I was going to tell you something in confidence.
Don't listen. No one listens.
Quiet. So at this moment in time, I am not beating anybody. but if I don't know, it's such like a derivative question, because it's kind of like, if Garrett played really well and I played really well, then who knows? Like, it's all YouTube golfers apart from Bryson DeChambeau and probably the Brian Bros, everyone's kind of at a decent enough level. And then you've got a few players like probably Grant, who
doesn't usually shoot massively under par, but it doesn't really massively shoot over par.
Except when he was with you.
Except when he was with me. Thanks to them.
I don't know
Thanks
what it is about playing with you, but everyone just goes, honestly,
it just
mad,
out the best,
don't know.
Springs out the best, doesn't it?
Micah played great as well when you played with him.
I just think I'm a calming influence. It's I think what it is as well, because people can see how much I'm struggling with my own golf. It kind of makes them feel so much better about themselves.
Yeah, I wonder if they're thinking, wow, he's having such a bad time. This game's easy. All I've got to do is keep it in play.
Yeah, well, Luke was sort of singing your praises, though. He was saying, you know, don't be too hard on yourself, which you are. So
you are very hard on yourself.
You're very hard on yourself. You need to just...
No, I don't.
You do.
I don't. I need to be realistic with myself and give myself sometimes a good kick up the bottom.
But also, like, you
give
know, when you
a bit of praise,
yeah, you when know? You do something good, you also need to be nice to yourself.
Yeah,
I can't just remember the last time I did anything negativity. Good on the course.
That's such a lie. That's such a blatant lie.
I mean, I got
okay. So let's think about this.
Okay,
we just went. In fact, in 2 days' time, the next video of the Build My Bag series comes out, and we went to go and get you some golf clubs. Right at the end of that, process. You were hitting some shots, and we had finished. We'd stopped filming. We were packing away. You were hitting shots, and I turned around, and me and Kieran watched, and we were both like, wow. We forget how good you are until you show us how good you are. And that, in that moment, I was like, this guy's got some skills.
Yeah, it was him. Striking it well.
It's
so feel that all the time.
It's just part of my new outlook going into this year of playing golf. Like when I was hitting those shots, and I must admit, I was hitting some pretty good shots. I was shaping it, curving it everywhere, hitting different flights. It was great. New irons helped.
On a string.
On a string.
No, it really was unbelievable.
But it's kind of like a case of being, I was just hitting shots. I was acting natural. I wasn't trying to do anything. So this year, that's kind of what I want to do on the course. I want to go out and just play. I don't want to be thinking about my swing. So we'll see how that goes. But that's why I'm putting the work in. Kind of in the studio. That's why I'm practicing quite hard, is because I want to be able to get on the course when I play and just go out and play.
Yeah, not have to think too much about what's happening.
Which is a fine, you know, it's a really good attitude and a good goal to have. The reality, you know, all plans go out the window with first contacts with the enemy. And the enemy, in this case, is a golf course.
Yeah, but the next time you play a kind of mildly competitive round of golf, you will have someone at least on your team who knows how to get the best out of golfers.
This is true. Yeah, with Trotty. But I think he might be looking to me for bit of leadership. So
you're both Spider-Man meme. Yeah. Like, one of us take the lead.
I'm kind of hoping that
he's holding each other up, just like, come on, you do it.
Kind of hoping that he helps me. but I will be playing a few times before then.
Yeah.
So we're going to be like completing the bag. Going to be getting all the clubs in place. Going to be playing like proper first full 18 holes of the year, not just like little tidbits. Going to be playing against some influencer people. Influencers, they're not people. Well, they are people. They're just influencers.
They're not people.
They're called influencers. We're going to have a few games before we actually get out for that comp. And then all of a sudden, like this year, after that, this year just suddenly explodes as far as golf is concerned.
You've got all your comps
We're looking at the schedule on the wall behind the camera.
I wonder what you're looking at there.
And it's looking pretty full.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually played in this many comps before.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of comps. And then, like, fluttered in between that is obviously Ireland as well, you know, with Luke.
Yeah, with Luke.
So,
and not just only Luke, because I know that kind of discussion we were having was basically saying, oh, we're going to be doing a lot of videos together, which we are. But also, we're going to be going to some pretty incredible courses, and we're going to be starting up again. I've not actually said this. We're going to be starting up the Head Pro series again this year.
Yes.
So when
travel to
a golf course, take on a Head Pro, get all the members out to watch. Did really, really kind of. It was really, really good to make those videos. It wasn't last year; it was the year before. Last year, things just kind of got in the way, but this year, I want to bring it back in a big way, and it kind of. It produced some really good videos, some really good matches, but just some fantastic atmospheres at the clubs as well when everyone came out to watch. So hopefully this year, and if we get one done in Ireland, that should be pretty kind of epic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Cool.
Are we telling people where we think it's going to happen yet or no?
No, not yet. We don't, because it's weird. It's these matches, it's kind of like you obviously want to play it at a course which is going to make a good spectacle on the video. Yeah. You know, you want it to look amazing. Yeah. But also, like these Head Pro matches, it's not just about that. It's about if we go to a local golf club, let's say we go to a club in the middle of Ireland or near Dublin, wherever it's going to be, we should be able to get some really cool crowds of people who watch the videos, but we also want to get the members out. We want that atmosphere to be built. And then, of course, the pro you play against is important, because everyone we played against in the first series was really good, but you never really know how people are going to react if a camera is put in front of their face.
Correct. Yeah. Some people take to it like a duck to water. Some people avoid the camera at all costs. Well,
especially like a PJ. You know, I've been a PJ pro for a long time now, and I know that in a club environment, some PJ pros, they literally don't play golf. Yeah. Mm. So if they want us to come down and film and like make this really good this good video, which will show off the course and it'll be, you know, really well received, and they're a really nice person.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, the rest of it. There's nothing to say. As soon as they hit that first bad shot, they're going to be like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
This isn't good. Because it is hard. Like, if you're put in front of an audience of, like, those videos are what, getting like 300, 400,000 views?
Yeah, did well.
As soon as you start to hit a few bad shots, like, in the back of your head,
you know it's going in front. Oh, I know. Yeah. I've been there.
That little devil that we talk about on the shoulder that just creeps in the back of your head and gets on your shoulder and says all these nasty things to you while you're playing golf.
He's got how many subscribers?
Oh,
yeah. 600,000 people are going to see this.
That devil will wake up and it'll be like, why did you agree to this?
Mm.
You're one hole in. Mm. The members.
Well, I like kind of Digger was the was a prime example of that. Yeah. I think off the second shot of the first hole at Dundonald Links, like, kind of, I actually didn't see where it went, but like, because I think I was on, what cam was I on at that point? Because I don't remember seeing it.
I thought you were behind, I probably was, but like...
Was it trees on the right, to be fair?
No, it was right.
Just more that, did he shank it, or was it like just more of like a push? Like what?
Just a dodgy toe strike.
Just a toe push sort of thing. Oh, right.
Yeah. And yeah, that ended up in the bush, took a couple of whacks out of it, and you could kind of see like, you could see just like tightening up. And it's like a perfectly natural reaction.
Oh yeah, as anyone would.
Yeah, like. Luckily it's match play though, isn't it? It's like, that's probably the only beauty of it.
Yeah, we're changing this.
The other thing is that it has also gone the other way, where you've been so brutally beaten by someone who's at the top of their game that there was a... Where was this?
Tol Farris,
that's correct. And what are you, like, six down through six or something?
He birdied the first five. Yeah. And I think he might have been six down, or at least it was five through five.
But
it
that's, like, the complete opposite end. Someone who clearly just quite used to the crowds, quite used to people, quite used to cameras.
Well, yeah.
Played on the European tour.
The flip side of you saying this. PJ pros at these golf clubs that maybe don't play, but then also hidden away are these PGA pros that are really, really good, and how many really good golfers there are.
Yeah.
Listen.
What we've got to do is pick someone good on camera who's not that good at golf.
I mean, hopefully by this point in this year, I'll have played that much that, you know, I should be half respectable again.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter who you play.
That is my hope. That is my dream.
please.
Talking about different levels of pros, we again have news on the professional game.
Oh, that's... How did we not get to this immediately?
This absolute... I don't even know how to describe it anymore. So, I mean, let's talk about some good news first. So Dunlap, who won as an amateur at the Amex, he's turned pro. Kind of a bit of a no-brainer, really.
Yeah.
Self-sound effects again.
Yeah. Wads.
It's one of those where, like...
He wants those wads.
Because after he won that event, he kind of already had a PGA Tour schedule set out for him, didn't he?
Yeah,
you'd basically. just be you'd be
You've kind of got to. I think for someone like that, I mean, if you're that talented, you're that good of a player, you're obviously looking to do a career in professional golf anyway. It's kind of like, well, why actually would I stay at college? It's perfectly understandable.
I think he waited just long enough to be at the top of the amateur rankings. And then he was there for like a couple of days and he was like, I'll tell you what, I've done it now. GoPro.
Completed this.
Yeah. I'm the best amateur in the world. So.
Well, he saw the amount of money he got for winning and realised that he couldn't get his hands on it. So he thought, well...
Would he get any of it now he's turned pro?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought so.
I mean, he will instantly have some like sponsorships and corporate deals and all the rest of it just from winning that event. You know, it's not like he won't receive any monetary compensation for that win.
Yeah,
I mean, he won't get the prize money, but... everything else will kind of fall into line.
I think part of his decision to turn pro will have been financial.
Of course it will. I mean, he's just proven that he's good enough at this point now to challenge, you know, people on the PGA Tour, the best players in the world.
So. And someone who I've seen before also won, Aldridge Potgieter.
Potgieter.
I'd seen him before. What tournament did I see him playing?
The Open.
Did he play in the Open? He did at St. Andrews. He did. I thought I recognised him from somewhere. Yeah, he won on tour as well, didn't he? On the Corn Ferry.
Corn Ferry, yeah. So he was amateur champion at St. Andrews when we were there.
Wow.
Did you see where Dunlap moved to in the world rankings after he won?
He gently jumped 4,000 spots or something.
So he was 4,121st in the world. He was 68th. With that one win.
68.
4,000 spots.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you know what? Weird.
And he's still got his little AN next to him in the official. I know, obviously, that will change.
Yeah.
But.
No, but it's weird about, like, you know, obviously what Quan was saying earlier about that, obviously the top 30 are like, you know, those players are just like insane. But then after that, like, everyone's kind of similar. Did you get that, what he was trying to say about that?
So, I mean, it, from the work that I've done and from being around tours and all the rest of it, your top golfers, like the ones who are at the very pinnacle of golf, you're talking about your Rahms, your Rorys, these kind of guys. Yeah. They are, like, everybody knows, obviously, they're good. Then they are so much better than your normal golfer. You just can't conceive it unless you're with them. Mm-hmm. If you can walk a full round with these guys, you will understand just how much better they are at every single aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, it should go without saying, you know, these are the best players in the world. But once you actually see them play and hit it and the ball flights and everything, you're like, I get it.
Are you saying in comparison to when you say normal, like your standard PGA Tour pro?
So like, let's say you're a standard scratch golfer.
Oh, right. So, okay, so not even anyone on the tour.
So someone who has achieved a really good level of golf and you're thinking, oh, I can knock it around the level.
But yeah.
It, in comparison to that level,
to go again,
these guys are just, they're at such a different level and a consistent different level, which is key. Mm. It's hard to kind of comprehend unless you see them play.
Yeah, it's a different sport. Was it Homer who said the other day, if you get a chance once in your life, go and watch Rory hit driver in the flesh?
Yeah, it's just different.
It's just different.
That's him.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's him saying exactly. It.
I mean, the last few years I've been so lucky to work at the Open, and each time I've managed to spend pretty much every day, I've made sure I'm there every day when Rory's on the range, so I can just stand there and hit him and watch. And it is the most impressive thing you'll ever see. It's just unbelievable ball flights, strikes. It has a look about it. The ball flights have a look about it, which I don't even understand. It's like when I told you about Brooks, when I was watching Brooks hit as well. Brooks Koepka, obviously a great player, but he was drilling these irons, driving irons at the Open at Birkdale, I want to say. I think, it was Birkdale. And I was just watching him. He's got this old Nike 3-iron, which is bent
still,
to a 2-iron.
Still
in the bag of the black one.
And he was just hitting these shots, and they were stingers. They were going about 20 foot off the ground, but they were carrying like 260.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, and I was like, I was walking down the range, and I was seeing like Spieth hit, and I was like, is it in it okay?
He looks like he's got a right miss in him.
He actually won that week. Yeah. And this is my arrogance. I'm watching him, and I'm like,
he's all right.
He's just a good putter.
Do you know what he needs? A Titleist truck in front of him.
He's fine. He's all right. Kind of walking down the range, there's a few others striking, and they all hit it well, obviously. But then you got to someone like a Koepka, and he's hitting these shots. And I'm like, I don't understand physically how he can do that. So it's not just like a good, impressive ball flight. It's physically, I don't understand the mechanics of how that ball is coming off and
he's
doing those things.
He's defying physics right now.
Yeah, it's like, you look at him, you're like...
Just keeps his left arm straight, doesn't he? Yeah.
No, he doesn't though.
27.
Well done.
Oh, we could bleep that out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. And you get players like that. And I think what kind of Luke was saying is that besides those players, certainly let's say we talk about PGA Tour, for example.
Yeah.
The top 30, the bottom 30 on the FedEx rankings on the PGA Tour, you could pretty much interchange them with the top 30 on the Korn Ferry Tour standings.
Yeah, right.
And if you did that, I don't think anyone would see a drop in the quality of golf.
Yeah, it's like a relegation and promotion. Those kind of teams in those bands are all very similar.
Yeah, but they're so much like, if you talk about it in football, soccer, talk about soccer terms, like if a team came up from the championship, they're always favourites to go down. Like realistically in...
When's the Ipswich go up?
Point
proof. Yeah, there we go. You're going straight back.
But like, if the top 30 got from the Korn Ferry, I don't think you really notice too much of a difference. Yeah. Like the quality is so high now on all levels of golf.
Yeah.
That it's so hard to break into.
Did you during school ever do like a sport at a higher level than just playing for your school?
Yeah.
So was it cricket?
Yeah.
So you played cricket for your school.
Yeah.
Then did you play for your county?
Yes.
Then did you get like into the England team?
No.
Okay. So this is the difference, right? I grew up running. I ran for my school. I ran for my borough, the borough of Harrow in London. Then I ran for my county. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the point where you go to race to get into the England team, you're like, oh, all of these people are better than me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's that. Yeah. And then my friend Cameron, who ended up running for, you know, he ran in England competitions and, you know, was miles better than us. He then gets smoked at the next level. And then the level above that.
There's always a bigger fish.
The level above that, you're racing against Mo Farah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So it's how weird is it that even at Mo Farah's level, there's top 30 guys who are like untouchable everyone else is just very, very good.
Yeah. I think you'd say though in golf at the minute, you've kind of got, even though you've got those top 30 guys that are obviously, you know, seriously good golfers, maybe even you argue they are better than everyone else. But I think that 1,000 underneath them is so much more spread out in regards to that, like the guy who's 45th and the one who's 700th could also do the similar thing on their day. Mm. Like I think the pool is kind of like spread out. And I think we've kind of seen that in the first three PGA Tour events. I know the fields aren't always as electric as they normally are as the majors come in. I mean, Rory starting from now is basically playing as much golf as he possibly can in his attempt to win the Masters. But I think with Pavon that won this week, I think he was, to not make myself sound like a complete betting fiend, but I think he was 150-1 to win, which was the shortest odds of any winner this year. Mm. You know, you've taken someone like a Dunlap and things like that, you know, they had Justin Thomas in the field and they've had Thegalas and, you know, tour winners, they're there. But there's guys that are at the bottom of the field that are coming through and winning PGA Tour events as well.
And it just shows, like, you just need to win one event and you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a difference now between kind of what it takes to be a success in inverted kind of, what they call, quotation marks?
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't know, bunny ears. I call them bunny ears.
If you're not watching, I'm doing the bunny ears.
You have to pause and go.
Yeah.
Because there was a time, let's say, you know, the Tiger era is the obvious one here, where you had Tiger Woods, generational player, who dominated the game. Mm. Like, he dominated it. In amongst that, you had players like Vijay Singh, who had incredible years. You had Phil Mickelson, who came to the fore. But he was like the undisputed powerhouse in golf.
Yeah.
We don't have that now because everybody at the top of the game, their levels are so high, it's almost impossible to have that dominating character.
Which is weird because it does feel like a year ago we were talking about when we went into golf events, is it going to be Rahm, Scheffler or McIlroy that wins when they were kind of flipping around? But that was only like a year ago, but now Harman. It's just like quickly moved in.
But even that was over like a 2-month period?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a brief time,
So it's almost impossible because there's such a depth of talent. And someone like a Pavon who, you know, I think it was like 160 starts, maybe DP World Tour. He hadn't won until last year, and now he's a winner on the PGA Tour. you just go through these little streaks. Mm. You know, we're not saying Pavon's going to be, I'm delighted that he's won, but we're not saying he's going to suddenly turn into a generational player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might not win again.
Yeah. Wasn't he the first French winner since like 1907 or something?
Yeah, 111 years or something.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, so the actual depth of everything is insane. It's so crazy. But yeah, those top players, obviously amazing, but the whole undercurrent of pro golfers, the depth of the talent is unbelievable.
Yeah. Can you explain to me who Anthony Kim is?
Oh, Mick.
Okay, so
strap yourselves in.
I only started following golf, you know, 3 years ago watching, 2 years ago playing. I don't know who this person is.
He's a proper U player as well.
Yeah, he's a very U player.
Very U player.
So Anthony Kim, so there's two things about Anthony Kim. He was obviously a fantastic player, and he was generating a lot of excitement. This was, again, like we're talking about next Tiger Woods type of thing.
Mm.
Like the way he played the game as well, it was super aggressive, super attacking. There was always excitement going on. There's birdies, there's bogeys. You know, he was a great player to watch. He had everything, the world at his feet.
This doesn't sound like it has a happy ending.
And then he got injured / just stopped playing. So he had an insurance policy, which was he was insured. Yeah. I can't remember how much. Kieran will have to have this look. It was tens of millions of dollars. He was insured that if he suffered an injury, which meant he couldn't carry on playing, he would get a massive payout. He got injured and never returned to the tour until he got the payout.
So the payout was contingent on him not being able to play golf.
Yeah.
So therefore he was like, if I want wads,
then I don't play.
I can't play golf.
But now
the wads have acquired. Mm.
He's acquired.
Because all I've seen on the internet over the last 3 or 4 days is Anthony Kim's back. And I was like, Anthony Kim's here for the first time because I've never heard of him.
Because that's the thing, well, he was such an exciting player to watch. I mean, one of the best highlights was at Valhalla when he was playing Sergio in the Ryder Cup. It was the year when... Oh, yeah, yeah. It was the year when the USA absolutely smashed Europe. Mm-hmm. It was like a complete obliteration. And Anthony Kim beat Sergio Garcia, and he was that hyped up, he was that in the zone, he won the match, and he walked to the next tee.
Legend.
Because he wasn't even... He just wanted to go. He was just going. Mm. Like, he was...
Wow. And now that is my type of player. Yeah. Someone who does that, that's a legend.
He used to wear Nike as well. Like,
yeah, he pulled the US flag. He was running down fairways with it.
Like, he was mega.
It was just like that guy. And then he just went. He was so abrupt as well. It was like an injury and then he was gone. It was like, oh, when's he coming back? Oh, is he coming back? And then years later, it's like, he's not coming back yet.
Okay, so this poses the question. How much money would it take for you to give up golf for 10 years?
Wow,
that's a tough question.
That's basically what he did, wasn't it?
His livelihood gone.
Yeah.
In an instant.
No golf.
Now.
No YouTube. No job for us.
Well, that's the thing. Are we talking about if I was just on my own?
If you're in your current situation.
Yeah.
If you pick up a golf club, you have to give all the money back.
Well, that's tough, isn't it?
Just make sure you take enough to give to us.
Listen, we're highly employable. We'll find something.
Highly employable.
I don't know about that.
I don't think we are. I really don't think we are.
I think Apple are always hiring.
I don't know. Like when hired you guys, like there was a column which was like weirdness rating.
Yeah.
And like the higher you guys were on that was actually a positive for me.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Sam is so tall.
So I'm like, I don't know. It's an impossible question because I won't be able to come in and say, "Oh, guys, by the way, guys, I'm going to Monte Carlo tomorrow. So if you guys can do your CVs,
you're out of a job.
Make sure you lock up on your way out."
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I wouldn't. Obviously, there would be a figure, but I have no idea.
Well, throw one out there.
25 million.
Okay.
Oh, good lord.
I'll take a mill of that. Thank you,
Liv, if you're watching.
You can say,
you could pay off.
They've been handing out some money recently.
Everyone has a price, even Tyrrell.
Yeah, so if Tyrrell, we should get onto this now. So it's broken that Adrian Meronk, now this hasn't been confirmed yet.
No,
properly,
this hasn't been confirmed.
So Adrian Meronk and
RIP.
What seems to be a nailed on Tyrrell Hatton, meant to be being confirmed tomorrow. Tyrell's gone to live, apparently, for 50 million.
To join, that seems like...
To join John Hound.
That seems low.
Yeah.
This is... Oh, my God. This is the problem now. This is what golf has kind of descended into.
Yeah.
That's he was what that
he's getting life low. He's yeah, getting life changing money that. And we're saying it's not enough.
He's yeah. being given
yeah.
£50 million
and yep. he doesn't have to quit golf.
And he doesn't have to quit golf.
He's playing golf.
So and this is it's like 50 million and we're all like shrugging our shoulders, going, well, you know, is that kind of is that appropriate for like it's not that much and oh yeah, is he worth that or the rest of it? It's £50 million.
Yeah.
Yep.
To
yeah,
a
yeah.
golfer to join a tour that nobody's watching and everybody thinks everybody's acting like this is normal.
No, I think it's just the fact that obviously because John Rahm went for what, like 450 million,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like
yeah. it seems
know,
like a
God, that's a bit of a lowball, you know what I mean? But like but it is a lot of money.
Do you know what it was? They offered Rahm 500 million. Yeah. And he said, I will come for 450 if you give me the other 50 to Tyrell.
Yeah. Honestly. Did you see like Max Homer was like, he woke up and chose violence the other day. See his tweet? Like,
no.
It was about Anthony Kim. And it was like, the PGA, here are the negotiations on which tour Anthony Kim's going to join. PGA, come play our tour. Liv, come play our tour. And he's $500 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you're going to choose.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, it's true.
And it's just like the whole concept of what it means now to kind of play pro golf has just completely changed. You used to play and get paid depending on how well you did in that tournament. Now you're getting a massive fee to go play on a tour before you even consider the money you're winning, and the money they're winning is massive as well.
Okay, so what I do this quite a lot. I like to make a metaphor. Kieran knows I like a metaphor. It's becoming football transfers.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because if you buy Gareth Bale and then he's like, well, I don't really want to play. I kind of just want to play on my fancy golf course. You still have to pay him. You paid 50 million for him. You still have to pay his salary. Even if he's injured, even if he doesn't want to turn up, you still have to pay him. Yep. So that is what it's becoming.
He's having an aneurysm.
If you're watching, by the way, Pete, it's literally red.
This is what's so mental about it, though. Just imagine, like, there is not a single footballer, like, we're talking about football, soccer, okay? The biggest sport in the world.
Mm.
The biggest sport. It's not the most, well, if you bring all the leagues together, it's the strongest financial game in the world. Like, the NFL is the most kind of highest earning league.
It's soccer, the most watched.
Kind of the most, that was more kind of US kind
right.
of stats.
Oh,
that
right.
one.
Okay.
But
okay.
as far as money generated, the NFL's the top. But the entire game of soccer worldwide is obviously the biggest.
Mm.
Like if a player went for £450 million,
yeah,
you go, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Mm.
And because of what Liv are doing, like £450 million for Rahm, it's almost like I can see what they're doing. I can understand it. Golf, as far as an audience is concerned, is so much smaller.
Yeah. It's four Ronaldos.
Yeah.
It's absolute madness. But the thing is, like, they're going to a tour, and I can't emphasize this enough. They're going to a tour which nobody's watching. And I've not heard anybody say, because Rahm's gone, because Hatton's gone, you know, I'm going to now start watching that tour.
What team is he joining?
He's joining Rahm's,
whatever
team.
That will be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's joining Rahm's team.
See what I mean?
The Matadors.
No, I think that's one of the things. That, like, we were like, oh, when's the first live event? We didn't know. Mm. No one knows.
No one knows.
Where is it?
I just knew they were in a rush to get people. Yeah, I know it's soon, but...
It's soon.
At this point, I don't hate Liv. I mean, I don't feel anything about it.
Yeah.
I literally don't feel anything about it. I've not watched the full event. Maybe this year is the first year where I put a little bit of time into it and watch it. But the product itself and how they actually present the tournament, it's not grabbing me because it doesn't mean anything. This is why people watch the majors. This is why people watch the Ryder Cup, because these players are playing for the glory. They're playing for the history. They're playing for the tournaments. They're not playing for a carbon cut trophy and $4 million an event because they get extra money for their team who pop champagne on the 18th green and celebrate because nobody gives a crap. Because it doesn't mean anything. As soon as you put money at the forefront of what people are playing for, fans switch off because it's not relatable. They don't care. Do you honestly think that if Bradford played Leeds,
It's a great game.
Do you think that a single one of those fans is thinking, oh, I'm so happy that Patrick Bamford's got his bonus? Do you think they actually care? If he bangs in a hat trick, do you think they're going to be going, oh, I tell you what, I'm really excited about the fact that he's got more money this week? No, they don't care about that. Leeds and Bradford, it's a huge match for those two towns, for those two cities in the context of football.
About they're
not even winning anything. Yeah. There's nothing to win there apart from 3 points, but the
passion, bragging rights
of
it.
The energy of that is going to be unbelievable. It's just not a structure which is going to work.
Okay.
And yet, the money which is flowing into it is astronomical.
Because it's coming from a stream of money that is ever flowing.
And by the way, I pumped
from the ground.
They just dig a bit deeper.
Like Morong, Hatton, Rahm, by the way, I don't blame them. Like this amount of money which is going to them is absolutely insane. And like I said, everybody has a price, even if you do it on just a simple product basis. What am I going to be playing in? Take away where the money's coming from and all that. Even if you think about what the product is, it's not as engaging, it's not as exciting as some of the biggest events in golf. So I don't blame them for taking the money and going to play on it. It's just the fact that the pro golf, something that I really loved as a kid,
is
turning more and more meaningless.
We don't know what the future holds. I, for one, am quite interested to see what the new players are going to do for the new LIV season. You never know, maybe Range Goats versus Crushers is Bradford Leeds in 5 years' time.
I know what you
with
mean.
The firms clashing on the 18th.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe Team TaylorMade versus Team Callaway.
The Ultras.
Ultras.
Get the pyros.
We just get like the
big Stanley flags.
You're just going to get like the Wolves fans and the West Brom fans fighting on the course and stuff like that.
They're all Poznan in behind the 18th.
Exactly. Yeah.
How stupid was that?
We don't know what it's going to be. It's such a early doors that we literally have no idea what it's going to be like. It's still in its development. I want so badly to support a team. I think team golf is the future. And I think that LIV are doing it in a kind of a bit icky way. TGL was going to be like, perfect. I can support a team. We get to watch team golf. It's technologically advanced. It's great. Mm. However, I am interested to see what it's going to be like in like 5 or 10 years.
Mm. I don't think it'll be there, honestly.
I don't think it'll be there.
I think we'll be back to the drawing board again of working out what pro golf is. Or they'll just be playing on the same tour again.
Because people...
Yet.
Don't know.
Yet.
No.
So the Open has been running for 152 years, and that's why it means something.
Yeah.
We're in year four of LIV?
Yeah, but the Open itself is a tournament which encapsulates the very best players in the world playing for a claret jug. Playing for a jug.
Yeah.
It's a bent receptacle. So hold on. Used to pour wine.
1 second. If we make the trophies worse at LIV, does that mean that you'll support it?
You are right. It obviously takes time to kind of generate a certain like amount of fans.
It's like heritage and culture.
No one cares about the new team that's created. Until they're in 20 years' time, they're playing in the Prem.
Like Inter Miami. In 10 years' time,
they'll win the MLS.
Yeah, they'll
win the MLS.
Yeah.
Well done.
And then they're going to be the Super League. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going to happen in a couple of years, and you never know. Rory McIlroy might join LIV in 2 years' time. You know what I mean? And then that would be the key to everything. You know, if Rory McIlroy goes, this whole thing changes. This whole thing changes.
It changes for me. Again, I don't really see. We're at a point now where like LIV buying up all the golfers, so in the hope that people will watch. The whole team aspect is what they're going for, but if you construct a team which is purely based on bringing people together for money without any heritage, without any kind of like fans behind it, all that is a shiny shell. And as soon as it starts to break apart, people are going to realize there's nothing inside. Mm. The whole point of having a team which is connected to like a fandom, let's say Bradford Leeds, whatever it's going to be, let's just pick Leeds. It's obviously got the heritage of being within a town. Families are literally generations of Leeds fans within a family. Yep. It gets passed on. Yep. It gets talked about within the town. Because of golf's movement, because it goes around the world, because it's predominantly based on single players, having a team of golfers, unless they're representing something bigger than themselves, like in the Ryder Cup, at this moment in time, I just don't see how that is compelling. I just don't see how people can get excited and worked up and cheer. Who in their right minds at this moment in time, if you're a golf fan, is going to step back at the end of LIV Golf 1 and say, "Ah, oh, I am so happy the Range Goats won."
No, you're right.
Oh, the crushers must be devastated.
Team Nike, they're going to be.
Nike. And then I'm sorry for kind of shouting and going.
Thank you. Apologize. Right down camera one. Right.
I'm sorry, everyone. But like, professional golf for me was a massive inspiration to get into the game and to have access and to be able to watch it. And that is now something which I'm over dramatizing stuff, and it's not the case, but I know that golf at this moment in time from the professional game is not as engaging, it's not as exciting as it used to be, because it seems to not mean as much.
I suppose it depends on what you kind of put weighting on being the most important thing for you in how you like engage with sport. For me, that history and heritage and that feeling of like, I want that person to win for nothing less than just the beauty of winning and the winning this historical event. The money side of things, I never think about it. I'm not jumping out of my seat because I don't care how much
the Open winner gets.
We're all going to be, I think, in the same boat for that. But it's just, it's just how you kind of want to engage with sport, really. It's just how you want to do it. I will say, as a small disclaimer, and this is completely irrelevant, doesn't really matter, but as the best friend of someone who is a Bradford fan, you saying Bradford and not Bradford City will be enraging a lot of people.
They'll be in the comments.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say sorry for that. But
it's fine. I don't support Bradford.
No, I know.
The town.
I think the only thing that one thing it has done with this whole LIV thing, it has, because I never used to watch a lot of golf anyway, but the majors, it's put such a hype on the majors for me, because like it means that we get to see everyone come together. Back together.
Correct.
You know, obviously week in, week out, we were blessed with that, you know, having all of them just there on the same tour.
Because there was only one option.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But now, you know, that's why I watch the major. I'm so excited for the major. So excited for the major.
Okay, so speaking of tournaments that have historical significance and people want to win, guess the player.
Come on.
that was too bad.
I could just picture there's like people, well, it's not definitely the case, but there's people listening to this going, God, I hope Kieran does well this week.
Well,
I will say as well, do you know, like, the only thing that does annoy me about LIV as well is that, you know, about that you talked about the champagne thing. Yeah. You know, champagne's like real bad for grass.
And they're coming to our fourth channel soon.
Yeah.
Things that are bad for grass.
No, it's actually like...
Worst things you can put on a golf course. Yeah, champagne. Just a burnt patch of grass and like Sergio popping.
Get David on it right now.
It's real bad for grass.
Hello and welcome to the 2024 Rough Cut Open, the game where your knowledge of golf history is more important than your ability to actually hit the ball. How the game works. At the end of each episode, I describe the life and career of a famous golfer. And after each clue, these accomplished professionals write down who they think it is. However many hints it takes them to get home is how many shots they took on that hole. So, if you get a par 5 after just 4 clues, you would finish that hole in 1 under par. Here are the current standings. Let's rejoin the action as the players tee off.
It is raining, but welcome back to Guess the Player, where it's always sunny on the golf course. Today's Discord golfer was...
Sam the Oz golfer.
Now we played today's hole on my way to work actually, and he did a great job.
Okay, brilliant.
Wow. Really good. So we're playing a par 4. We're a par 4, everyone.
Did you say he was like having a beer while he was doing it?
Yes. So he is originally from London. He said he doesn't play golf particularly well, but every time he hits the ball, he gets more and more addicted. I think we can all attest to that exact feeling.
That's very cool. That.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He lives in Australia, but originally from London, and he was sinking. I think he said it was his second or third beer as we were doing the round.
Love
so
that.
that's who you're up against today.
Okay. Love it. Yeah. Great. Did he have a real weird London Aussie twang, or was it one?
No, it was mostly Australia.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think he had been there for a while.
Yeah. Very good. Good for you, Sam.
Excellent. And like I said, we'll reveal his score when we reveal today's player.
Okay.
Shot number one of this, you know, blind tee shot par 4.
Okay, great. Probably hard.
Shot number one. This player has won on five continents. This player has won on five continents. Now, when Sam repeated this back to me, he did say condiments, but... But
don't quite know.
We got a name down anyway. This player has won on five continents. Shot number one. Hmm. It's a blind. You know what it's like? It's the first tee shot at Heaton Park.
I've not played.
Just over the ridge. The green's a bit closer than you think it is, so you always take a little bit too much club. And then you've got a downhill second shot. Horrible.
Horrible.
Jacob's last to right.
Yeah, the seventh at Didsbury.
Seventh. Which one's the seventh?
I think that's one by the road, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. Is that a par three?
Yeah, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, seven goes sort of around the corner, but it got water on the left.
Is that... Wait, which one's seven?
Over the road.
Oh, the third shot over the road.
The third hole over the road.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you hit towards those trees and you have to go to the left.
Little corner, yeah.
Got you. I like that hole.
Then you got the par five.
I hate that eighth.
Then you got the par four. Eighth.
I've lost so many golf balls on the eighth at Didsbury. Shot number two.
At Didsbury Golf Club. Postcode. Membership fees are involved.
For the most recent offers, please contact.
And just a quick shout out to the club secretary for sponsoring this episode. Thank of you, Guess the Player. Shot number two. He has an honorary PhD, a doctorate in science from Nottingham Trent University. He has an honorary PhD, a doctorate of science from Nottingham Trent University.
I think I've hold it.
Oh.
Oh God, I hate it when he does
sake.
That.
Yeah. I'm holding my finish. It's a little bit of a dog leg. Like can't see the bottom half of the pin. It was online.
Yeah,
and there's a lone marshal up on the green, just waving his hands.
He's gone mad.
Yeah, I don't know if that means he's gone over the green or he's trying to get someone to be quiet. But
okay.
Oh, this is so annoying.
I would love to, in the next iteration of this setup, the like studio, I would love to be able to show who you had picked for the previous one. We need like little iPads or something, like, don't we?
It's
poker table.
A poker table with a hole in it.
Flipping love it. Phil's got aces and then this other guy's got like, love it. I love
and you can see him bluffing.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love it when the percentage chance of win comes up.
Yeah.
And you see it flip right
flip
at the
straight
end.
Away.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it like, I don't know why, but he's done that.
Yeah, cool. He's got more cards than him.
Yeah. That adds up to more, yeah.
Yeah, well done. Those are both red. He must win. How did it go? You think you've hold yours?
Yeah, I've hit it.
You made contact. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Shot number three. Through investment in Hoofit, this player has won the Stewards' Cup twice. Through investment in Hoofit, this player has won the Stewards' Cup twice. Peter's gone for a fold.
What the hell is...
Yeah, what is that?
What is Stewart Cup?
Stewards.
Is that a golf thing? Hoofit.
It's not.
It's not a golf thing.
Hoof it is in...
Get it out. Hoof it.
I don't know. I'm just going to go for it.
Have it.
Yeah, one of them.
Have it. Get it out.
No.
I'm walking up to the green. I can't see my ball.
I've got to make this harder.
I see Kieran's in the right rough. Jacob's might have plugged because I can't see it.
I can't see it.
Well, I haven't hit my second... Well, I've hit my second shot. I've not hit my third because I'm still finding it.
Are you on the eighth at Disbury? So I'm still there every single time. All good?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, if you're playing at home, this is your par putt, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
this is your par putt. Yeah, sheesh. Yeah, you need to get it. Shot number four for par. Despite coming second place three times, this English player has never won a major championship. Despite coming second place three times, this English player has never won a major championship. Pete has turned his paper over.
I have picked my ball out the hole. I've just tipped my cat again. People are like, oh my God, he's on a roll.
Yeah.
He's found his swing.
He's annoying.
I am dialed in right
Your playing
now.
Partner's a disappointed in you.
Oh.
Pete stood by the green, tapping his foot, waiting for you idiots.
I am full on Anthony Kim. I'm already on the next tee. I am like, I'm zoned in.
Teed it up. You know it's your honour, so you've teed it up.
Yeah.
I've still hit my second shot, so...
I really hope something will come in now that throws it.
I'm
way too confident right
now. Yeah, you are.
Do you know what ones I love? I love when you're all like, oh my God, I can't believe it's that guy. And then like this bogey putt or the double, you're both like, oh, that's what makes me feel good.
It gets you going.
Yeah. Okay, so if you haven't got it by now, you're going to be over par for this hole. This is your bogey putt. If you're not on the green, you're in big trouble. Shot number 5 of this par 4. In 2010, this player overtook Tiger Woods on the OWGR, taking the first place spot. In 2010, this player overtook Tiger Woods on the OWGR, taking the first place spot. That's your bogey putt. Have you just folded?
I think I might cry. This might be my best... It's either one or the other. There's two that fit that.
I don't really know how to feel. I've got a name that matches those things, but I don't know.
I feel great.
There's two.
The problem is that, and I'm all for the match play element, but once I know that he's got it, then if I don't have it, then I can't. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm just like,
yeah, but if he gets it wrong,
the mind games.
Yeah, I know, but he's got it.
But this is match play situation.
Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, you've been wrong before.
2010, no, though.
He's got so many years on me. Like, so many years.
I'm going full Jack Nicklaus. Like, I've never missed a short put in the final round for Major. I've never get one wrong.
Okay.
I hope for you you've got it.
There's two people that it can be.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, to find out right now, because this is your last clue and I'm going to give you the answer, which means that if you haven't got it by now, you're going to be two over, which is the worst you can be for this hole. Shot number 6 of this par 4. A staff player at Ping, this Northeast UK resident is renowned for writing his yardages onto his clubs. The man with the custom off-road golf buggy. This week's player is Lee John Westwood.
Got it. Got a par.
You parred it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Peter Finch. Got it in 2. Okay, so did you know that he got a doctorate from the University of Nottingham, Trent?
So, do you want to hear my detective-ness?
Yeah, hit me. You looked at my screen.
So, yeah, 3 days ago. I saw it.
Yeah, so I opened up your notes.
So, if he's won on all 5 continents, that means he's definitely a European tour player, because generally US players aren't going to be going all over the world.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what almost did me though, because I was trying to think, why would it be? I was then thinking of what Americans have won on an English show.
But so it's kind of like, for me, okay, that's European straight away. He's obviously been around a bit as well, because generally even the modern European players, they won't go on to 5 continents. So that puts him in a certain age bracket. PhD from Nottingham, Lee Westwood's a Nottingham Forest fan.
See, that was the thing that I was trying.
So
I was really trying to. That was my thing that I was trying to hone into. Like, right, if it's got to be someone who's from Nottingham, and I couldn't remember what he was. But as soon as you said that, that makes sense. But because of close house and being up further north, that's what was doing it for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's. I'm assuming he might be from Nottingham, but I'm not sure. But I just know he's a Forest fan.
That was the thing I was thinking of, and I couldn't. I was like, Poulter's Arsenal. I think Rose is like Alfreton or something like that.
Yeah,
obviously Fitzpatrick, Sheffield. I just couldn't.
The Stewards Cup is horse racing, and I know he's massively into his horses.
Is that what it is?
Hoofit is the name of his horse.
Oh, Hoof. Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry, that's so stupid.
Wow. That's really good.
But like, when you know, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What did we have done?
I'd Luke, because I thought
you stuck with Luke.
Yeah, I stuck with Luke because it was going to be one of the. You know, I thought it was either going to be Lee or Luke. And Luke's not won a major. Was world number one.
Lots going for him.
Lots going for him. So yeah. I was like...
You fell into the trap that I set for you,
and then I thought, oh, Luke's quite a smart guy. So I thought, oh, you know...
Yeah, the clue in there was honorary, which means he actually didn't go there. But they gave him one because of his... He probably... How those things normally happen is that they fund some course, or they give a load of cash to the golf team or something like that.
Like Stormzy.
Correct. Yeah. So Stormzy's scholarship is set up so that people can go to the university who wouldn't normally get the opportunity to go to it.
In Cambridge.
I believe so,
Oxford,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
Now,
I didn't get it wrong.
You didn't get it wrong. What did you get?
I got a par.
You got a par, Kieran.
Double.
You doubled it. Peter Finch got it in two.
Big question is.
So you eagled it.
How do we get on?
Sam the Oz golfer also parred the hole. So Peter Finch with an additional. Wait, Peter Finch with an additional point.
What does it mean for?
I don't think it means anything, does it?
You get nothing.
Yeah.
You get nothing. No,
if
no
someone
tie
wins,
break.
Someone wins outright.
Oh, right, cool.
Someone wins outright, they get the point.
Thanks for trying for me. Yeah.
So we're through four holes now. Did everyone tie last week?
No.
You won last week, so you're on two. The Discord are on two.
Eagled it last week as well. Not bragging, right?
Yes, so current standings will be Discord 2, Pete 2. You two, zero.
Yeah.
That's a real problem because they have two more points than
that's
you.
Fine. Yeah. I did think 2010, I was like...
Mm. Well, we're only four holes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got time.
There's a lot that can happen, and if last year's taught us anything, it can be... Very,
I'll make a comeback and then fall off for the last five holes.
Right. You wait till Maurice Flitcroft comes back
up. Yeah.
With different clues when to freak you out.
I was going to say, obviously he was not real, but when you start bringing up... When he was real, but when you start bringing up fictional characters, that's when I'm going to start getting into my...
You wait till Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Shoot him again.
Shoot him again.
Well,
this man ate for breakfast.
Again, very good, Nick. I think your whole design these last three holes has been exceptional. Yeah. First hole was a bit of a kind of an afterthought, but I think...
Do you know what it was? The first was like a hole that I designed for the first course that we played, and it just didn't fit the landscape, so I squeezed it in just to get it out of my brain, and now I'm...
Well, to the
new
design.
Good. Very good.
I would like to just announce that my 9-year-old Luca actually wrote the clues for today's hole, which is excellent. So well done, sir.
You're outsourcing now. You've hired an assistant greenkeeper.
We wrote them together. So there we go.
That's so smart. Yes.
My additional thought with you putting Luke is I thought that it might be Luke Donald because I knew your son was called Luca. So I thought maybe you put to him to do Luke Donald.
Think about that's
the other thing that I thought.
But then ping.
I take too much of the outside variables into equation. So I need to stop doing it.
This is who I thought you were going to think it was this week. Nick Dunlap. Anthony Kim.
Yeah.
Who else has been in the golf news?
I thought maybe Tyrrell, but that was today.
That would have been... It could have been Tyrrell, and it could have also been Moronk, but I think we did Moronk last... Yeah, we did Moronk last time. Yes.
But then you went to ping, and obviously had that in your mind.
And then I thought to myself, Pete's just put that driver in the bag. And
see, there's always something in there.
That's what I mean.
You've got to expand your vision whilst also being able to narrow in.
Keep the peripherals out wide, but also just you can fixate quickly.
So avoid the distractions. Mm. Like this course design is a master of distractions.
So listen to yourself next time you're playing a round of golf, right? Remove the distractions. Talk yourself through what's about to happen. Execute. Be successful.
When you step onto the golf courses, I'm playing guest.
This is a par four up the hill.
I need to be this competitive when I'm in a round of golf.
Yeah.
After that second hole, I was like, no more.
I don't like the Discord winning.
No more.
They've had their fun.
I have to stop this. And I'll tell you, it works. Right, so I just want to say a massive thank you to Luke for coming on the podcast this week. Huge thank you, obviously, to the guys for offering their expertise, their wit and their wisdom to the whole world of golf. As always, a huge thank you for you to listening and watching. If you haven't followed us on our podcast providing platforms, please do. And if you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, we would not say no.
Yeah, don't stop. We've got 600. Like, keep going.
Keep going.
And we're on 15, and we're 15K on here. We'd like to get to 20 by the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. If you got literally, if you've got nothing else to do, create like 10 YouTube accounts. Subscribe to everything.
What I'd like to see in the Discord, we have a channel which is called No Picks from the Fairway, which is like to try and encourage people. You know, people post their, look, I drove this 300 miles straight down the middle. I want pictures of like people behind trees, people in a 16-foot bunker. What I actually want this week is I want pictures with the person that you told about the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my gran.
This is me and my gran. I told her about the podcast. Now she's a subscriber. That's what I want. Right. So in the Discord. Join the Discord if you're not already. I want to see pictures of the person you've told about.
She doesn't get this fandangled YouTube, but she's going to do it. Poor relatives around the globe.
And next week, it's going to be you two, isn't it? It's just going to be you two.
We might have another special guest. We might have someone.
Tall one, but then also maybe someone else as well.
Maybe. We're going to have a very tall special guest next week.
I don't think he knows about this yet.
Well, dude, if you're coming on a trip and your hair on a Monday, you're on the podcast.
Pack a bigger tripod.
Right. Okay, right, guys.
Let's go to the airport.
Thanks very much. See you next time. We'll go to Arizona. Bye-bye.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.